Hello and welcome. You are listening to Gore and Guilty. I'm Greg.
And I'm Georgia.
And today we've got a paranormal episode, but to quote Georgia from just before this episode started, it's a paranormal episode without too many ghosts. So I am very excited to see or hear about this case. What case are we doing, Georgia?
So today we are going to be covering the Winchester Mystery House, which it is one of the most haunted properties in the US, but finding details of actual ghostly occurrences was quite hard to find, which is why I said that comment. But we'll still have a great time.
Well, I have heard of this case, so it makes me think that it's famous for a reason. And
sure.
The other funny part that the listeners have missed in the 10 minutes before we started recording was we were debating whether or not we've actually done this case before, because neither of us can remember.
I know. Oh, I'm going to be so cross if I've already done these notes before and I couldn't find them. But as I was writing them, I was kind of like, I'm sure I've done this before. But we'll see.
My theory is that it's one of those like unreleased episodes that we did before we actually started editing episodes properly. It's probably in the depths of our drive somewhere
that like I had a script already done and I'm sure that this has far more details in it than the last one, so it's fine. I should say as well, this one was recommended to me. It was suggested by a friend of mine, Joe Hickey. So shout out to you, Joe. Thank you for suggesting it. And if anyone else has great suggestions, please send them our way and we will make sure we do them.
So, thanks, Joe.
So how have you been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've been good. I have been keeping active, keeping fit, doing lots of fun stuff. I am going to a festival this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
Ooh, I'm very jealous.
It's been a while since I've had a prolonged boogie, so that's going to be fun. And yeah, looking forward to that. I have hurt my toe, not sure how. Aww. It always feels kind of like a pathetic injury, you know, when you hurt a toe.
It does, but it's one of those that, like, it bothers you all day. Like, it's, you know, like a paper cut is one of the, it's really painful. It's just annoying, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah,
I
can feel it, and I'm not used to feeling my toes, so it's annoying. Yeah. How are you doing anyway? How's life in Swansea?
Yeah, good. It's a little rainy today, but it's all good. We went to a wedding last week, which was lovely, and it was such a beautiful wedding. It was beautiful weather. It was just really, really a lovely day, so really enjoyed that. Other than that, the wedding kind of let me have a few days off from my uni work, so now I'm a bit up against it.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, just one of those prolonged weekend, you know, that sort of, I'll treat myself to extra days off, which I probably shouldn't have done. But we live.
You've got to live, life's for living.
Exactly.
Shall we do a question? We haven't done one in a while.
Sounds good to me.
Happy days, especially as the paranormal episodes are always more fun ones.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Georgia, pick a number between 1 and 250.
We'll go 88.
88. I don't fully understand the question.
Okay.
Are you into after work happy hours?
What, like, having a drink? Like a drink happy hour?
Oh, maybe it's that, yeah, like cocktails after work.
Like going for after suit. Well, I'm unemployed, so. student life is happy hour every hour. Just kidding. Maybe we should pick another question.
Let's do it. Pick another number between...
We'll go 77.
77. All the sevens... What the fuck?
Oh no.
I could have sworn this is the normal list I use, but the questions are really weird. Do you consider yourself good at networking?
That's a question.
These are like weird interview questions or something.
I know, I do. I feel... Yeah. Yeah, it is like a interview question. Do we... Well... Right, go on. Is there another question? We'll go 66. Come on, 66.
Are you more of a work to live or a live to work type of person?
Oh, okay. We can run with this one.
This one works.
It's still slightly work related though. Okay. Mm. Work to live. But I have to enjoy what I work. Yeah, I'd say. But then, yeah, I'll go that way around. Work to live and enjoy life.
I think that's probably the correct answer, but for me, it's, at the moment, it feels like work to live. Live to work.
Live to work, yeah.
But I love it. I do. It does give me a lot of purpose, so I quite enjoy that, and keeps me busy.
I feel like if you really enjoy your job and you really enjoy going to work, then living to work isn't necessarily a bad thing, because you're enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
funny one, yeah. We'll put that question up this week and see what you guys think.
Good idea.
Live to work or work to live?
I think I have caught myself a couple of times being like fidgety in the evenings when I don't have work to do. I mean, I always have work to do, but when I'm not actively working, that's the downside.
Do you struggle to like relax? Like you have to keep yourself busy. Do you feel like, I don't know, you're cheating a little bit if you aren't working or doing something purposeful?
Maybe a little. I don't know if I'd say I can't relax, because I can definitely relax, but it's more, and I don't feel guilty either, but sometimes I just like, I get like an extra buzz when I'm working on something.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
Especially, we went through a period of just like a lot of high priority things, and it meant that everything that I was working was like immediate value. So when I didn't have that anymore, I was like, what did I used to do with my evenings?
Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure other people can relate to that for sure.
Shall we jump into the Winchester house, metaphorically?
Yes, let's do it. Okay, so Winchester Mystery House. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that have heard of this case. It is a very, very famous one. And with good reason, really. It's very unique. The Winchester Mystery House can be found in San Jose in California. It's located at 525 South Winchester Boulevard. And it has a Queen Anne-style Victorian mansion. It is a stunning house. Have you seen photos and pictures of the house, Greg?
I'm looking at photos now. It does look very big.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, because it is ginormous. But it's a beautiful house. It's just...
Is this the one... I feel like we definitely have done this, because it's... Is she like the Harry Enfield rifle?
The Winchester rifles, yes.
Oh, that makes more sense, the Winchester rifle. Cool. We definitely haven't published it, though. So wherever I'm pulling this knowledge from is not a podcast episode.
Yes, I think that at the start we spoke about a lot of, at the start of doing a podcast, we did a lot of episodes on paranormal, so there might have been like little bits of this story woven in, or I don't think we haven't released a full episode on this case, so I'm sure there'll be some details that
Absolutely.
You don't know.
I'm excited.
I hope so anyway. So it's known for its mystery, confusing architecture, and ghostly hauntings. It was once owned by Sarah Winchester, who was the widow of the gun mogul William Wirt Winchester. So the Winchester guns, you've heard of those before, I'm sure. They're the classics. A lot of money in that.
A lot of money in guns.
And as we find out, she inherited a hell of a lot. So Sarah, Mrs. Winchester, she was born in the 1940s and was very privileged. She spoke 4 different languages.
Nice. Multilingual.
Which in the 1840s is super impressive, I think, even more so.
Yeah, no Duolingo back then.
Exactly. And she attended one of the best schools. So she married William And unfortunately, William died of TB, tuberculosis, the classic back then.
It was rife.
In 1881. Sarah Winchester inherited over 20.5 million, which equates to 587.5 million today.
I was going to say, that's an incredible amount of money to have back then.
Insane amount. And yeah, to receive that overnight, obviously she lost her husband. It's not all, you know, it's under tragic circumstances. But not only did she win this wild, not only did she receive this wild amount of money, she also received nearly 50% ownership of the Winchester Repeat Arms Company, which meant she earned approximately $1,000 a day, which equates to $28,600 in today's currency.
That's a lot of money.
A day.
Yeah,
a day.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, I wonder what I'd do. I know what I'd do.
I know.
I'd build a big weird house.
Yeah, well, I've heard some people do.
Mm.
However, unfortunately, this wasn't the first tragedy that Sarah, Mrs. Winchester, experienced. In 1866, William and Sarah's daughter, Annie, passed away from marasmus. Sarah was in her late 20s when this happened. So it is under extreme tragic circumstances.
That poor woman. All the money in the world and she's still getting some really bad luck.
Exactly.
Lost some people close to her.
Mrs. Winchester wanted to search for some comfort and some answers about why these two tragedies happened. So she would meet with a medium. And she potentially wanted to find out how she should spend this fortune. The Boston medium claimed that she could channel the late husband and suggested that she should leave her home in New Haven and travel west, where she must continuously build a home for herself, or else the spirits of the people who had fallen victim to the Winchester rifles would get her.
My word.
Which is pretty sinister.
It's kind of a rogue thing for that medium to suggest.
Right? Yeah. I mean, she's lost, you know, two loved ones, and she's trying to seek some sort of comfort, some answers for why this is happening, what she should do, and she's told to travel west and just continuously build this house, which...
Maybe the medium has a cousin that works in construction or something.
Yeah, maybe. In California. Mrs. Winchester upped and left Connecticut and she headed to California, following the advice of the medium to a T. She believed that the noise of the consistent construction workers should keep the spirits at bay. However, some believed that the move to the West was to occupy her through her depression.
I was going to say, it kind of makes sense, right? If your alternative is to just sit in silence and think about your dead daughter and husband, then maybe it does almost make logical sense to just surround yourself by being busy, constant work on your property.
Distraction.
Yeah.
In 1884, she bought a small farmhouse which needed a lot of work to be done to it. And so the construction of the incredible mansion began. Sarah employed people to work on the house all day and all night. The farmhouse grew to 7 stories high.
Blimey, that's a lot of stories.
Mm-hmm. Sarah would design the house for herself, and she would change things last minute all the time. She would ensure that the house was continuously worked on. Rooms would be nearly finished, and then she'd make them start it all over again with a new plan. And some of those plans would usually be scribbled on a piece of scrap paper. There would be windows that overlooked other rooms. There would be doors that opened up to brick walls, and the staircases would also be all uneven. There was apparently a chimney that was inside the house, and there was a door, I think, on the second or first story that opened up into the outside, which I think is a safety hazard. But as you can see, it is just a chaotic, confusing house.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Imagine being a builder or an electrician or a carpenter on that job. You're like almost finished and then the client changes their mind and wants completely different. Probably drive you mad.
Nightmare. Yeah, absolutely. There was also secret passageways and trap doors. And even in 2016, a secret attic room was discovered which had belongings in it. So even at that point, over hundreds of years later, rooms are still being discovered.
Wow. That's crazy.
Isn't it? It's just, yeah. An environmental psychologist theorised that the house was to be built that way because Sarah believed it was haunted. She believed that the layout would confuse spirits. However, some people have pointed out that Mrs. Winchester was only concerned about spirits and maybe couldn't walk through walls, as she wanted to confuse them. Surely, as we hear a lot of ghost stories, they just kind of walk directly through the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe she was under the impression that they didn't. Hadn't watched any horror films back then.
Maybe. And she was taking advice from her medium.
Who may or may not have had a cousin in construction in California.
Yeah, exactly. In 1906, there was an earthquake. And the house, unfortunately, saw major damage. Today, the house only stands at 4 levels rather than the once 7. The house was on a floating foundation, which actually allowed the house to move slightly through the earthquake and prevent it from collapsing. It was thought by many that the reason this house took damage during the earthquake was because the spirits thought she was just too close to finishing the house, and it was like a warning, basically.
Oh, okay. So they didn't want to see the house finished.
Yes. And some spirits are trying to warn Miss Winchester in making more things to kind of fix around the place.
Okay, interesting.
Today, there's still signs of damage on the mansion that was produced by the earthquake. The house was mostly made of redwood, as Sarah preferred the wood. However, she didn't like how it looked, so she would apply stains to the wood to make it look as though it wasn't.
Wait, so she used the woods because she liked the woods, but then she would stain it anyway?
Yes, so she liked the wood, but she didn't like how it looked, so she would paint it.
That's so weird. But I guess yeah. I'm not really surprised from this woman who sounds a bit of a freewheeler.
Mm-hmm. I've got a long list now of the whole house, basically, the mansion. So there was 161 rooms, which is a lot of rooms, 40 bedrooms, 20,500 gallons, or 78,000 litres of paint that was used on the house.
Christ, that's like they probably used lead paint back then. Sounds like a hazard.
That is true, actually, yeah. 20,500 gallons. Crazy. 2 ballrooms, one was completed, one was not. 47 fireplaces, over 10,000 planes of glass, 17 chimneys, 2 basement levels, 3 elevators, gold and silver chandeliers. The whole property at one time was 162 acres. However, it's now been reduced to 4.5. The mansion also had amenities that was far before the time it was built, like push-button gas lights, indoor toilets, hot showers.
Oh, wow. Okay, so she was kind of getting like real progressive amenities within the house.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she had the money to do it. Whatever she wanted, she would get.
Wow.
Within the house, there was only one working toilet, however. The rest were just there to confuse the spirits. There were 13 in total.
So 12 non-functioning toilets and one
working one.
That's a massive house as well. That is a massive house. There's one toilet. For all those all those tradespeople as well. That's wild.
There definitely wasn't portaloos to have outside, was there?
Nope, not back then.
So Sarah would also sleep in different rooms each night, so the spirits would be able to find her. She was known for expensive and lavish taste, and she would use stained glass windows designed and created by the Pacific American Decorative Company, which was quite prestigious back then. The windows would depict spider webs, which were specifically designed just for her. The web designs were her favourite. They are beautiful, but with a little creepy vibe. The number 13 would feature throughout the house. There were 13 steps, there was 13 ceiling panels, there were 13 window panes. The motifs of 13 was to try and keep malevolent spirits away. Mrs. Winchester never admitted that the mansion was haunted, although contractors working there would share that Sarah would have daily seances with local mediums. She would try to contact good spirits and ask them for advice on how to make sure she was safe from the spirits she was trying to hide from, or the victims of the Winchester rifles.
So interesting that she had that mindset. It makes you wonder what was said to her before her husband died, maybe, or maybe she had reason to believe that he, part of his death was due to all the people that were killed by the Winchester rifle.
Yeah, I think that that's the first medium that told her this is what she must do. Really, I don't know, really got to her. She would have been in a, you know, a vulnerable state as well, and she believed it wholeheartedly.
Maybe there's a reason, though, that she went to see the medium in the first place. Maybe her husband had said something to her about seeing things or seeing people.
Ooh, maybe.
And then she just kind of discounted it or thought it was crazy, and then he died, and she was like, oh my God, maybe this was... I don't know, I'm fully speculating right now. But
yeah, well, maybe. I mean, she would see a medium every day, so maybe she... Yeah, she was very much into this stuff, and it provided her with comfort, I guess, but... Yeah, she was totally wrapped up in it. After Mrs. Winchester passed, all of her possessions, minus the house, was given to her niece, who was also her personal secretary, Marion. Sarah's niece took everything she wanted and then sold the rest. Apparently, it took 6 trucks, working 8 hours a day, over 6 weeks, to remove all the furniture from the house. Which... just really shows how much stuff was in this building. Mrs. Winchester didn't put her house in the will, though. It was thought that it wouldn't be worth much due to the impracticality of the house and the damage after the earthquakes. It was sold at auction for $135,000 to a local investor, which I did think it would be sold for more than that. This was then leased for 10 years to John and Mayim Brown, who ultimately went on to buy it eventually. And after 5 months after Mrs. Winchester's death, the house was opened for tours around the haunted property. And nowadays, the mansion is owned by Winchester Investments LLC, which is a company represented by the descendants of John and Mame Brown. So Mrs. Winchester died in 1922 to heart failure in her sleep. She spent 38 years continuously constructing her mansion. Not one moment or minute was there where she wasn't building on this house for 38 years, which is impressive, right?
That's just so stupendous, because that means there may well have been people working in construction that spent their entire, or almost all their entire working career on that house.
Yeah, right? It's hard to comprehend. They were working on it down to the last moments. And some say that you can still see nails that were half banged into the wall where they were told of her passing, and they stopped immediately. Like, it just was like, right, we're done. Which, yeah.
It's fair enough. They probably weren't going to get paid otherwise.
Absolutely. But, wow. Although the mansion is very well known to be haunted and linked to the paranormal, it wasn't easy to find details of the spooky goings-on. Mrs. Winchester gave no interviews about what she was experiencing, and she did not write anything in a journal, unfortunately. Furthermore, her family will not talk about the experiences with Sarah. There have been many paranormal investigators who have entered the property, such as parapsychologist and paranormal investigator Christopher Chacon, who performed a month-long study and stayed there for the entire month, working day and night. He interviewed over 300 people who detailed their experiences with the house. But again, I couldn't really find much from this report or like extracts from it, which I really want to read. So if any of you guys can find this report, I would very much like to read it.
Maybe it's that there really weren't any spirits in the house because her plan succeeded and she just built a really fucking confusing house layout.
Maybe. I mean, some people have theorized this, that it wasn't, maybe it wasn't haunted, and that either it worked for her or she was just getting so wrapped up in it that the rumors started to spread. I did find one ghostly tale, though. Or two. Whilst the house was up and running and showing visitors around the mansion, many visitors and employees would say that they've seen spirits around the property, and they would have their clothes pulled and tugged by spirits. One spirit in particular was Clyde. Clyde has a big, bushy moustache, and can be seen working on the fireplace in the ballroom or pushing a wheelbarrow downstairs in the basement.
Ah, okay, so he's a apparition from one of the workers.
Yeah! Exactly, he's like a handyman. Handyman Clyde.
That's wild. I guess he literally does have unfinished business. The house is never, ever going to get finished.
Oh my gosh, yes, you must be right. That, yeah. So many have seen him, and one person actually spoke to management and said, oh, I really enjoyed the actor downstairs in the white overalls and the Victorian boater hat, repairing the fireplace. It was a really good addition. And to which management replied, we don't hire actors. I have found a picture of Clyde of when he was alive, and we'll share that on our Instagram, but you can definitely see the big bushy moustache. I keep saying beard. It's from, you know, Hot Fuzz with a great big bushy beard.
A good big bushy beard. Yeah.
So Clyde was a worker on the house, but he was also a really popular resident at the Winchester estate. So there might have been many reasons why he is there at the property. A final ghostly occurrence that also happened to one of the employees was that they shared an experience where they were visiting the water tower on the property. They could hear footsteps ascending the stairs. Visitors are not allowed in the water tower, let alone up the stairs. So as he began to climb the stairs, he kept hearing these footsteps. And as he went, it sounded as though they were always one step ahead. He calls out and there's no reply. And once he reaches the top of the water tower to the roof, there's no one there. And that's when he realised that he was chasing a ghost.
Oh, wow, that's creepy.
Super creepy. When you can hear it, like, so clearly, like, above you. Oh, it's really creepy, isn't it? The Winchester Mystery House has had plenty of famous and well-known guests, such as Houdini. In 1924, he was on his debunk spiritualism tour around the country, and one of his stops was at the Winchester House. Many paranormal investigators, such as Zach Baggins, psychics Sylvia Brown, James Van Prague, who actually he mentioned that the mansion is very active. The house has also been shown in many movies and films. There's actually a whole film on it called The Winchester, I believe, which I'm yet to watch. I do want to watch it. It's like a horror kind of vibe. But that is The Winchester Mystery House. Bit of a small one today, but...
No, I enjoyed. So, hey, let me ask you a question. Would you stay at the Winchester House?
Absolutely. It's one of the properties, or like one of the places in America on like the spooky, I want to do a spooky road trip. This is one of the places I really, really want to go.
I imagine getting lost in it though. Imagine getting lost.
No, no. That would be a high possibility and terrifying. How about you? Would you want to stay here?
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I'd definitely want an easy getaway though. just in case there's any mustached ghosts that come and get me in my sleep.
Exactly. Go sprinting out the door that leads out off the tops, you know, first story, like, level out into the open air.
Door to nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. But it looks beautiful. It's just so peculiar. But yeah.
I wonder if we've got any listeners that have actually stayed there already.
Yes. If you have done a tour here or visited, please let us know about your experiences. And if you saw anything spooky at all, that would be great. Maybe it'd be one of those spots on when Gore and Guilty take US on like a road trip. That would be great.
The US like tour.
US spooky tour.
Do you want to go through the socials, just in case anyone wants to tell us about their experiences at the Windsor? Do you want to go through the socials so that anyone can reach out and tell us about their experiences at the Winchester House?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can visit our website, www.goreandguiltypodcast.co.uk. On there, you can share your own personal true crime or paranormal stories. You can also do case suggestions like this case. This was a suggestion and we did it. You can follow us on our Instagram at Gore and Guilty Podcast, where we'll be sharing photos from this case and pictures of Clyde, so you get to see what he looks like. And we can interact there. You can tell us about your experiences at Gore and Guilty Podcast. You can also follow us on our Twitter at Gore and Guilty. We hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please let us know. We always appreciate a review. And remember, we won't judge if
Gore is your guilty pleasure.
Woo! Thanks guys.